Today we're going to talk solar power, deciding whether or not you should get it, and the effects it'll have on a home, whether you're trying to buy it or sell it. So stay right where you are.
You are about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
What do you seem to understand? I'm not locked in here with you.
That's it!
You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California, member of the National Association of Realtors. Once again here to shed light into the dark, scary corners of real estate, just for you. And today we're going to talk solar power. Going to talk about ways to decide whether or not you should get it. We're going to talk about the benefits of it and what it can do for you over the long haul. But we're also going to talk about the possible challenges that might come up when you are trying to buy or sell real estate that has solar installed. So there are some special issues. There are some concerns. And if you handle everything correctly on the setup right from the get-go, it can be fantastic. You don't, it can be tough. So let's go ahead and jump in and start with – no, before we jump right in, let's go ahead and do all the promo stuff. Feel free to visit me over at www.therebelbroker.com. This show survives because of you. So if you'd like to support the show, please head on over to the website, get over to iTunes, subscribe. And if you're not a subscriber on iTunes, at least give us a review. It would be profoundly helpful. Also, if you head on over to therebelbroker.com, I currently have it set up so that if you join the Rebel Nation, you will get a free download of the top – I think I put on there the top 12 questions to ask a real estate person. And a couple of them are the usual that you hear everywhere. But there's a wonderful select bunch just from me, totally original questions to ask that will absolutely cause eyes to bug and jaws to drop when you ask these questions. Because the bottom line is these are questions you absolutely should know the answers to because they tell you really whether or not they can do the job for you. But they're also questions real estate agents never get. So like I keep trying to point out, knowledge is power. I want to crank it up to 11 for everyone. So feel free to head on over. Once you have logged in, you will get that completely free so that you can start arming yourself with the right questions to ask, whether you're looking to buy or to sell real estate, or even if you're looking for a good partner who's going to help you out with investments. Now, what kind of keyed off today's chat was a project from Google. What's interesting about it is it's called Project Sunroof, and what it's designed to do is to help homeowners decide whether or not solar panels really make any sense for them. And when you think about it, it makes sense. Google has all of this data that they've taken from satellites. They can calculate how much time the sun spends on your property in a way that it would make sense for you to install solar panels. And what's interesting is there, when you go to this site and you look at it, you can see sort of a heat map of your exposure, your roof's exposure to the sun. And all you do is enter the address and the information comes up. Now, a couple of things to keep in mind right off the bat, because this isn't going to work for everybody yet. Right now, the project is only going to be serving the San Francisco Bay Area, Central California, and Greater Boston, Massachusetts. So very limited audience for this right now. So I don't want to make this so specific that only people in the San Francisco Bay Area, Central California, and Boston can benefit. I'm actually not even in the served area. I put in my address and it said I'm outside the area. So I'm probably just about 10 miles too far south for me to be considered in with the hip crowd and getting access to this for my property. But what you can do, there's a variety of different things you can do. One of them is without having any commitments up front, you can contact just about any solar company that provides solar installation services. And if I'm not mistaken, there's even a PG&E. Well, this is obviously Pacific Gas and Electric is us in California. But I would imagine most of your utilities in your area provide some sort of service relating to this, where someone will come out, look at your house, and evaluate it. Many of them can do it online. As a good example, I was in Home Depot a few weeks back doing a little do-it-yourself stuff around the house, and there was a guy there from some solar company who would right there tell you whether or not it made sense for you to have solar panels. He would pull up Google Maps, look at the tree coverage, and get an idea of basically manually doing what this website does for you automatically. And from what we're going to discuss here, I want your takeaway to be, these are the questions I should get answered if I talk to a regular human being. This website is actually pretty stunning in terms of the data that it provides. I went ahead and just picked an address so that I could get an idea of what sort of data you're going to get from this. So I chose 123 Market Street, San Francisco, and it comes up with 1,782 hours of usable sunlight per year, based on day-to-day analysis of the weather patterns. And it gives us 1,740 square feet available for solar panels based on 3D modeling of your roof and nearby trees. Great, right? Next, the big bullet item here is $13,000 in savings. And that's the estimated net savings for your roof with a 20-year lease. So it covers a variety of things here. It gives you a nice big overview right at the top. Again, all of the information I'm talking about here, you should also – this should be the same kind of data you get from someone who does it manually. Now, on this website, you can fine-tune it. You can put in what your monthly electric bill is. So they have a sliding scale here. Now, sadly, my monthly electric bill is higher than what I can even slide this to. Well, not always, but some horrible months it has been as high as that. But you can slide it to whatever makes sense based on your billing, what you're paying per month. And then that changes the size and kind of solar installation that it's going to suggest you get. So if I leave it right around, say, let's say I'm paying $400 a month, it suggests an 11.5 kilowatt system that covers 810 square feet. And that size, and it tells me that that size will cover about 98% of my electricity usage. And that's great news. That's the stuff you want. But here comes the next part, and this is what we're going to cover in more detail as we move through today's show, is your various options on how to purchase this. When you do, so the first question is, can I get solar power? Does it make sense to get solar power? And you don't want to jump through all these hoops, start looking into leasing or loaning or buying, unless where you live, it's even feasible. Now, I met with a guy and he did his cute little thing in Home Depot, and I have enough tree coverage that it doesn't make sense for me to get solar on my roof. So that's it. That if I'm listening to myself, that ends the amount of time I spend looking into solar power, because it just doesn't make sense. Now, if you are very dedicated to solar power, one interesting thing to note, if you live in at least Santa Clara County in California, it may change from county to county, but I know that there's even a state provision for this. If you want to get solar panels put onto your roof and there are trees blocking it, you can actually get permission to cut down trees you normally wouldn't be able to cut down in order for you to get that solar exposure so that you can get solar panels to provide that for your house. So if you've always had a pesky tree that's always been in the way that has annoyed you and it also shades your roof, this may be an opportunity for you to kill two birds with one stone. Get yourself a solar system and get rid of that pesky tree. This is one you'll have to go out and verify for yourself. This is one I'm hearing from a friend who went through this, but they had a situation where a neighbor's tree was blocking the sun to their roof, and they were able to compel the neighbor to trim the tree or cut down the tree. I don't remember if they cut it down or if they just trimmed it, but it was all because they wanted to have solar power, and somehow the state regulations came in and helped them out. And I tried to Google that, and I couldn't find any specific details. But if it goes to that extreme for you, you'll definitely want to check with City Hall and see what sort of ordinances are available. Here in the wonderful state of California, I have no doubt that there is some sort of a rule or regulation that will allow you to screw with someone else's tree so you can get solar power. So keep that in mind if you happen to be in this state. All right. So once you've answered that question, the next question you'll want to answer is, what makes sense for me? There are a variety of ways to get solar power installed. There is a lease option, which will cost you near zero or zero. You make monthly payments to a leasing company. They own and maintain the system. And then you have some small costs up front potentially, but you also might be given the option to your system to purchase it outright at some time down the road. The next option is a loan. You own the system, but you pay for it over time. The upfront costs after incentives is typically zero. Again, it depends on where you're located. Your annuals, and with the lease option, your average annual savings is about $3,200 in this specific example of 123 Market Street, but the ratio should be relatively the same as we go through these. And then the total 20-year savings should be $63,000 for that. Now, with the loan option, $0 upfront costs after incentives. That may not be true everywhere. California has lots of incentives, but we're talking about Boston or Massachusetts and California in terms of the areas that are served here. So there may be incentives in Massachusetts. It wouldn't surprise me at all. That's something that wouldn't be too much of a surprise for me. A loan is a way for you to take advantage of incentives and long-term savings of a solar system without providing all the upfront cash. Every month you make payments to repay your loan principal and interest. So just like any other regular loan, like a car loan or any type of information like that, or any type of debt like that. Average annual savings in this case would be about $3,000. Total 20-year savings would be $59,000. The next is to simply buy it. If you buy the system, the upfront cost after incentives is about $28,000. The 20-year benefit is about $115,000. Total 20-year savings, $88,000. And it takes about 6 years until you've saved your money back. In other words, after 6 years, you will have saved enough money to have offset the cost of the solar panel system. Now, a few things to keep in mind. Solar panel technology is moving pretty interestingly right now. There's all sorts of new – there was something I read just last week about a new graphite system that can be used to create panels that makes them far more efficient. Over the last few years, I've heard all kinds of different advances that seem to be moving along that over the next few years should be getting built into panels. Clearly, the panels are the most expensive part of the system. So I think it makes sense. I think solar panel systems make sense now. I have several clients who I have worked with who've either had been on the grid and had a solar system to supplement all of that so that during the day they were running off of their solar panels and at night they were running off PG&E or off the electric company, but they were using credits. They were consuming credits that they had accumulated, and you accumulated credits by generating more power with the solar panels that was then being offloaded to the grid from your house. So during the day, his electric meter actually ran backwards, right? Because he was accumulating credits. And then he can consume those credits during the evening. And I think at his peak consumption times when he had the whole family in the house or there was a lot going on, he sometimes had to pay a little bit each month, but by and large, he didn't pay anything at the end of each month for his electricity. So that system worked out really well for him. He ended up installing industrial grade sun tracking arms that rotated the solar panels to always stay aimed right at the sun. So he had a very advanced system. I think he once mentioned it was over $100,000 to get installed. So we're not talking about those systems unless you're just really into this. But that's the kind of top-end price you can be considering if you're considering the option of getting solar power. Given the way technology – and this is with him using – at the time, I believe it was 12-year-old panel technology. Given technology today, I don't think you need to go that crazy. I think you can absolutely just get something that's on your roof that's going to do a great job for you. Now, the next thing we want to consider is as a seller, as a person who might sometime down the road want to sell their home, what is the smartest way to buy? Well, all of these can be smart ways to buy. The absolute no questions asked no questions asked, no problem way to do this and ensure a smooth sale in the future is to buy your system. So let's start with that ideal scenario first. If it's a purchase system, then that's it. It's just – it's another piece of equipment that's in the house, like a washer or a dryer or a refrigerator or whatever else you're leaving included. It's like the air conditioning system. It's like the water heater. It just stays there and goes with it. Then when you leave, you give the new buyer plenty of information on how to manage it, do upkeep, that kind of stuff. No complications there. Now, as a real estate marketing guy, I'm going to have no problem selling your house where you own the panels outright. You're just transferring ownership to the new owners. Problems come in with the next one, which was a loan option, right? Now, a loan is a loan. And a lot of banks don't like writing a loan on a house that has a loan like this on it. It talks about the buyer assuming the loan, and that murks up the water. It absolutely screws things up. So this is a difficult one. I have actually had this be an issue. I've actually had both the lease and the loan be an issue. But this was very early on when these things were happening. So my understanding is that the industry has sort of understood that it's complicating the issues. So they've come up with plans and methods to deal with this. We're going to talk about those here in a second. But your second best way may not be the loan way, depending on the situation. Now, let's assume you haven't got a solar system already installed. If you're going to get a solar system installed in your home that has a loan on it, you're buying the system, you're just buying it with a loan like anything else, you want to make sure that the company that is underwriting this loan for you, the solar company that's providing this, has a plan that allows the management of transferring this to a buyer. In other words, the loan needs to be transferable to a new purchaser, right? Like a loan to a car, when you sell a car, you don't transfer and you have money left on the loan. You don't transfer the loan with the car. So while this is a quote unquote normal loan that we're dealing with, it's not normal in that it doesn't go along with the person. It goes with the equipment. And it can dramatically complicate things for a buyer who is then has to deal with that. Up front, you want to make sure that whatever solar company you're dealing with has a plan, has procedures in place to manage the future transfer of this system to a buyer if you decide to move out. Now, let me suggest that no matter what your long-term plans are today, you assume that you will move out before this thing's paid off. You never know what happens in life. Changes happen. Always work through a process like this, assuming you will always want options. You may decide suddenly you need to move 1,000 miles and you need to get the house sold. You don't need a complication like a solar system that is going to either scare a buyer in the way that it's put together or alienate a buyer in that their loan won't go through with this loan involved. So there absolutely has to be a written out, promised, planned, part of the contract thing that takes into account your potential need down the road to transfer this to a buyer if you decide to sell your property. Now, the lease is interesting because it's depending again on how it's handled. Back in the early days, there was a problem with this because in some cases, these generated a lien on the property so that the seller couldn't really sell the home without clearing the lien. So there have been some evolutions in this. Solar companies have sort of grokked. That's a problem. So again, they have plans. But and again, make sure that's true. If you're going to lease a system, make sure that it's set up in a way where they accommodate the need to transfer this to a buyer and to do it in a way that is painless for the buyer, virtually invisible for the buyer, that really just involves them signing onto one piece of paper where they can assume the lease of the system. Now, here's a problem, and you may have already thought of it. Under both the lease and loan options, you are asking the buyer to take on an expense in addition to their mortgage that they may or may not have been thinking of when they first plugged all these numbers in. Now, through having ways to manage the lease and loan thing, you can probably get past the problem of the lender for the buyer not funding because of the existence of the lease or the loan. But what you need to overcome first is the psychological part. You need to make sure that your agent is able to completely inform the buyers of the fact that this is cheaper than the alternative. In other words, just because they have a loan that has a payment, or just because they have a lease that has a payment, doesn't mean that this house is costing them more. It means that come the end of each month, their total cost for utilities is lower than it would be in the exact same home without this piece of equipment. When this was a younger technology and we were coming up with problems like this, I was finding listing agents who just couldn't communicate that. So a lot of times it took there's a really good example is a house in a development where someone had put solar panels on their home, and the next door neighbor had the exact same floor plan, basically the exact same house, and they didn't. Both of them had double pane windows, so they were very comparable. The next door neighbor was kind enough to let me look at 3 months worth of utility bills. Neighbor didn't have to do that. They were very, very nice. I didn't tell where I got these numbers from, but I took them and I put them in a spreadsheet. And then we went with the numbers in the new house with the solar system and plotted out the cost difference. And we could show that there was a difference there. And there was the same number of people living in both homes. So it was very comparable. It made a lot of sense to do it that way. And I was able to, through numbers, show my buyer that the system could work in their favor, that overall this was a way for them to save money. It wasn't an additional expense. Their utility bill was far lower. And this extra cost that was a fixed cost really per month was really offsetting that and saving them a good chunk of money each month. So understanding how this works, you as a buyer, educate yourself on how this works. Don't be scared by a system that's installed in a home where you may have to deal with the hurdle of taking on the responsibility for a lease or a loan of the system. However, as a buyer, if I was representing you as the buyer, I would write into the contract that if it's loaned as part of the deal, the loan gets paid off before close of escrow. If it was leased and there was a purchase outright option, I would ask that that purchase option be exercised prior to close of escrow. So then it becomes an owned system and then you just get it. That technique may work a little less now. Folks are much more on board with the process. These companies that install these solar panel systems create specific programs to facilitate the transfer of these things. But I'll tell you what, there's no harm in asking, particularly if it's not a hugely competitive market for this particular home that you might be making an offer on. But just be aware that for lease and loan options on these solar panels, you can absolutely ask for that. So just keep that as another thing that you might want to include in any offer that you might make. Okay, so that covers the should you get it. It covers can you get it. You want to find that out. Covers should you get it. And in most cases, I say yes. I think solar systems are mature enough now that they actually make sense. They're a great way for you to get a little independence from the grid. And if you marry it with one of these new Tesla home battery systems, and I think Mercedes now is even making one of these things, you can have a home battery system that supposedly will integrate into any solar system relatively easily. So, and Tesla's done great work with batteries, obviously working with their cars. So it's great to be able to leverage these two technologies and make a home that could virtually work off the grid the vast majority of the time. So let's go ahead and presume that we've encountered a home that has solar panel installed. Now, as we mentioned, panels that come with a lease, and if there's 15 to 20 years to run on that lease, that can scare some people. But the National Bureau of Economic Research put out a study, and it looked at utility data, sales records of single-family homes, and also building permit data in San Diego and Sacramento. And they did that from 2003 to 2010. And they found that for the average installation, Solar panels added $20,194 premiums to the sales price of a home. And those were homes in the mid $500,000 range. And that's based on repeat sales data in those areas. In another study by the U.S. Department of Energy's Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, they found that homes with solar panels typically sell for $15,000 more than those without. And they put in here that it's accounting for effects of square footage, lot size, and age of the home. The analysis showed that a consistent price premium for solar panels across all of the data analyzed roughly equal to $4 per watt of installed solar capacity. And let's see, this data, just to give you an idea of the amount of data they were collecting here, it was from sales of 3,951 solar-equipped homes compared to 18,871 comparable homes without panels. Any other sexy data from that? No. Now, these studies also looked at homes that had panels installed prior to the advent of solar panel leasing programs, so these were owned programs. In June of 2014, Bloomberg stated that leasing is driving a boom in solar sales because most require no money up front. This has made solar affordable for more people, helping spur a 38% jump in U.S. residential installations in the past year. Let's see. So the biggest problem, as I mentioned, is lease systems that have a huge amount of time left on their contract before they're done. So buyers are just very concerned about that. And I think we've already sort of talked about how to mitigate that particular concern. If you educate yourself, if you crank the knowledge up on solar panels, any one of these can work. It's just going to be a question of you as a buyer, A, kind of going out and finding that extra piece of information so you understand what the dynamics are, and B, you as a seller, going out there with all the information ready for them. You need to educate buyers on the situation. I think what you'll find as a seller is that buyers will be drawn to the home because of solar panels. The only thing that will push them away will be the way that the solar panels were financed or how they got onto the home and what kind of an encumbrance there is on them now. And the numbers should all work out for buyers. You should be armed with all the numbers, but absolutely have that in there. There should be, for everyone who walks into your house, there should be the flyer, and there should be a couple of pages just about the solar system so that it's absolutely clear and there's no question about the value that it brings to that particular home. So just make sure there's no ambiguity. If people hear there's 15 years left on a lease of these things, they're going to come to conclusions that are probably not going to be terribly accurate and not realize that it's still a good thing for them. Now, sort of a final rundown on this. I came across a site called energysage.com that sort of lays out the should you buy or lease your solar panel system argument. It's actually pretty good. It looks like they've also got a video here if you want to take a look at it. But it sort of runs down in two columns, the zero down or custom down payment solar lease or loan, and along with a buy with cash or finance, just the down payment solar lease or a PPAS, or buying with cash or financing with a loan. So you want to get no down payment solar leases if you're primarily interested in using electricity generated from renewable resources and less concerned about maximizing the financial benefits of installing a solar system. Don't want the responsibility for maintenance or repairs of your solar system. Don't want to make a cash investment to buy the solar system. Don't pay enough in federal or state taxes to benefit from the federal investment tax credits resulting from the investment. Don't want to wait until the following year to receive the benefits of tax credits, or your credit score is above 700. I think they mean below 700. Or no. Yeah, I don't know. You'd think that would be that if your credit score is higher, you'd want to go for the loan, not the lease. So they may have misprinted that. It would make more logical sense to me that you'd have a lower credit score to do a lease. Buy with cash or finance with a solar loan. Best option for you if primarily interested in maximizing the financial benefits of installing a solar panel system. Can benefit from reducing the amount of federal and state taxes that you pay. Have a tax liability that is larger than the amount of credits you could receive. Have the cash or can borrow to pay for the solar system, or a business and can realize tax benefits through treating the system as a depreciable asset. Are planning to sell your home in a few years and want to increase its value quickly. That's absolutely true. An owned system is always going to be easier to sell your – make it easier to sell your house. It's going to add value to your house. It's going to be a lot easier to market it as a real estate person from that perspective. Costs. So we'll start again with the solar lease option. You might want to go with a lease if you can get a solar system anywhere from no money down to about $3,000. So that's if you're worried about managing costs. Cost of a solar power system can range from $15,000 to $30,000 before any rebates. Cash rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of the system by up to 50%. Most solar installers offer to manage the paperwork involved with rebates and incentives for you and adjust the purchase price to reflect the net amount. Tax credits reduce the amount you owe for federal and state taxes. You can either reduce your tax withholding or claim the credit when you file your next tax return. And that, those are obviously all the benefits of purchasing. Maintenance. You might want to lease if the solar leasing company owns and maintains the solar panels. Most solar leasing companies offer free online or mobile apps to help you track the performance of your system. An owned system. You own the system and are responsible for maintaining it. Note, solar systems are highly durable and require little or no maintenance. Solar panels carry a 25-year performance guarantee, and solar inverters also carry a 10 to 25-year warranty. There may be additional costs to track your system's performance online or via a smartphone or tablet of about $100 a year. Now, just as – since I've sold a few houses that had solar systems and I've had folks who are completely off the grid, not connected to the utilities at all, I can tell you that one thing you do need to do about every 6 months is clean the panels. Clearly, debris on the panel or dust reduces their efficiency. So that's really the only thing. And you know, the clients that I've worked with either had a gardener that would agree to clean those for them every month or two, or they'd just go out there with a pressure washer or a long brush stick thing and clean those off. So it's not a huge deal and something that just takes a little bit of time out of your day. Terms for a lease. Solar leases and PPAs are generally for 20 years. Obviously, for loans are available for 5 to 20-year terms with interest rates ranging from 4 to 8% for credit scores higher than 700. Offsets. With a lease system, you do not qualify for any tax credits, depreciation, rebates, or incentives. I've heard of some hybrid situations where you're given the option to purchase these leased ones that eventually does pay you off with credits or incentives at the time that you switch it from a lease to a purchase. You'd need to talk with someone about that, though. You'd want to buy in terms of offsets. When you do buy, you qualify for all available cash rebates, federal investment tax credits, state tax credits, and other incentives. Savings and return on investment. Under a leased system, you can save between 10 to 50% over the prices you pay your utility for electricity, depending on your location, state incentives, and property characteristics. When you purchase your system, you can earn annual returns on investment of 10 to 30%, depending on your location and et cetera. Another advantage is you get free electricity for 25 to 40 years. You can earn extra cash by selling if offered in your state or by your utility, state electricity, selling back electricity to the grid, which is something that happens here in my area. All right. I'm going to include in the notes for today's show a variety of articles that cover all of this. I think there's one from Consumer Reports that's particularly good that covers analyzing your needs, doing research, and how to basically walk through the process to get it done. And then there's another one from the Washington Post that covers it pretty well. And it actually gives sort of the downside of having solar panels, particularly if you lease them. I was trying to decide if this was a story worth sharing. It basically sort of lays out those buyers who potentially become a little bit more cautious when they learn that they'll have to qualify to take on more of a loan for lease payment or to take on the lease for your system. If you're looking for just what does the Rebel Broker tell you should do, I would say do not lease a system. I know that there are a lot of people are going to push back. I've said this to folks before. I've even said it to companies that do the lease thing who've tried to convince me that that's the best way to go. And I appreciate that. But in terms of preserving your highest probability of getting your home sold, typically you want to go with a a owned system, something you've gotten a loan on or something you've purchased outright. What I wanted to do was also give you one last thing. Now, this is from SolarCity. This is one company that does this stuff. These guys have absolutely stood up and said, we get it. We get that buying and selling a home with solar panels has been an issue. So they've actually got a section. You can go to their site, solarcity.com, and under their fax system, just select buying and selling a solar home. And here's what they do. Number one, you tell SolarCity as soon as you're ready to put your home on the market, you call their transfer team hotline and let them know that a reassignment agent will be appointed to your case immediately and will remain your dedicated contact throughout the entire process. Number two, they'll handle the paperwork. SolarCity will provide a simple transfer agreement for both buyer and seller to sign. It's all done online. So there's no need to worry about filling out lots of forms. Just e-sign and you're done. It's official is number three. Once the home sale closes, the new homeowner will receive a welcome packet and phone call from us. They're part of the SolarCity family now, so we're here to answer questions if anything comes up after the transfer process is complete. Let's see. The one reason why I mentioned this was because a lot of this has to do with leased systems. And one of the things that these guys do in their process is they remove it. You tell them ahead of time because what they're going to do is apparently remove some statement in terms of the liens that looks bad. Let's see. Here's the question. Here's the one that really clued me into these guys. Is there a lien on the solar home? And they say no. What you'll find on the title of a home with a SolarCity power system is a UCC1 fixture filing. A UCC1 fixture filing is not a lien against the home. SolarCity files a uniform commercial code financing statement on all of our energy system, all of our solar energy systems in the real property records where each system is located prior to or when the system is installed. They file it to notify anyone who might perform a title search on the address where the system is located that our property, the solar energy system, is installed on the home. This filing protects our rights as the system's owner against any mortgage on the real property. If the lender that holds the mortgage on the real property forecloses on our customer's home, the UCC1 filing protects our interest in the solar energy system and prohibits the lender from taking ownership of it. And then they go on to say, if a UCC1 is not a lien, can it be removed? Yes, we are aware that lenders prefer, and this was a big one. This is ones that have killed deals in the past. So that's why I loved the fact they had a plan for this. So if you've got a leased system, whoever is doing it for you has to have this. And they have to have a plan to manage this if you're going to sell your home. So let me just tell you what they do. They're aware that lenders prefer not to see anything on the title, so it's common practice for us to release the UCC1 fixture filing for financing purposes and refile later. In fact, we have a dedicated team for this purpose to ensure that there is no disruption to the sale, purchase, or refinancing of your home. So that's what you need. You need an organization that is absolutely proactive in managing the process of transferring ownership of this to a new buyer. Now, separate from whether or not you can get the buyer to see the light and understand this is a good thing, if you do go with a lease, you have to do your homework up front. It's vital that these types of things are part of any plan for anyone who you are leasing a solar system from. So before you jump in, you make sure they prove it to you in terms of what they're going to do if you decide to sell this home down the road. And get it all in writing. Don't count on a smile and a wink. Make sure that it's in writing and hold on to that paperwork. Because the whole key here is going to be A, for you to really let the buyer know this is a good thing. And you know it's a good thing. You've been living in the home with the system. You know what your bills were before. You know what your bills were after. Keep all of that homework you did that convinced you that leasing was a good idea because you may need it down the road. You want to be able to prove this is how much better things got when I did this. This is how much money I've been saving per month with the system. You're desperately going to need that because if there's a lot of years left on this lease, some buyers are going to want to walk away. And you need to be able to tell them this process to transfer it to you is as easy as possible. And if you go with a company like SolarCity, make sure to get those gears turning before you ever even list the house. The first thing you should do once you decide you want to try to sell your home, same day you call your agent or an agent you're going to call to interview, call your SolarCity people and tell them you're about to put your house on the market. So they're going to want to be working with you to make this as easy as possible. All right. That's about it. I thank you all for tuning in today, folks. I'm trying to decide if we should do a hostage countdown on my RSS feed from BTR. We are in day 14, folks, of my RSS feed being held hostage. I did a little bit more research and discovered that, sure enough, at some point, Blog Talk Radio made it standard operating procedure to include a line in their RSS feed that will tell iTunes to only look at Blog Talk Radio. So this may not mean anything to folks who don't have their own podcast. Most of you know what an RSS feed is. What you may not know is that there's a middleware product that you can use. And the one I was using was called FeedBurner. And what FeedBurner lets you do is have an RSS feed that never changes. And then what you can change is the RSS feed that FeedBurner looks at. So I had iTunes pointed to my FeedBurner thing so I could move my podcast RSS feed from anything. Ever since 2007 when I started the show, that's where it's been with FeedBurner. And at first it pointed to my website where the site was hosted. And then when I decided to do some stuff with BTR, I called them. I talked to their tech support folks before I paid them a dime and said, I want to make sure my RSS feed stays under my control. I use FeedBurner. Is that okay? And I can even tell you the name of the tech support person who told me this. I won't, because she's super nice and she's left BTR since. And I actually complained to her on Facebook today. And that's it. So the BTR feed went to FeedBurner, and then iTunes went to FeedBurner to get my RSS feed. Well, what BTR did, at some point they put a little line in their standard RSS feed that says, whatever RSS feed you're looking at now, stop looking at it and look at this one instead. So they hijacked my RSS feed. The only reason to put that line in there is if Blog Talk Radio intentionally wanted to circumvent any middleware that someone was using to maintain ownership of their RSS feed. There is no other reason to do that. I didn't click a checkbox to make them do that, and it's a standard line in their RSS feed that doesn't need to be there. The only time it ever needs to be there is when the owner of that RSS feed wants iTunes to look somewhere else. So I've gone from being annoyed to being amazingly pissed off that without my permission, BTR decided to go ahead and put that line in there. So for any of you who are listening to this show and you're thinking, you know what, I want to do a podcast of my own, do not use Blog Talk Radio. Don't use anybody who's going to hijack your feed. Your feed is your show. In the worst case scenario is I don't get it back, and I end up having to start a whole new iTunes page for my show, which would stink, frankly. All right. Anything else? If you'd like to get in contact, of course, therebelbroker.com is going to be the site to go to. There's a Contact the Rebel button up there. You can email me. You can also put yourself on the fabulous Rebel Nation list to get access to all sorts of inside info. And whenever I'm not going to sell your information to anybody. It stays with me, and that's it. If I ever do a newsletter or I ever have some sort of cool inside information I've decided to do my first webinar, whatever, you'll get instant access to that. So, hey, jump on board and let's see if we can't achieve some goals together. Thanks again for listening, everybody. I will talk to you all tomorrow.